Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Wednesday, July 15th, and we are covering the biggest stories from yesterday, July 14th, 2026. This is episode 457.
We have a really packed show today. We are looking at a massive breakthrough in EV battery recycling out of Japan, a 27 billion parameter AI model that somehow runs on a phone, and some spicy drama over the European Union's new age verification app.
Plus, we will talk about a hilarious way to stop Claude from using the phrase load-bearing, and a new experimental Git command that might just save you from your next rebase nightmare. Let us jump right into it.
Our first story is some genuinely great news for the environment and the EV industry. Scientists at a recycling facility in Japan have developed a method to recover up to 90% of lithium from used EV batteries. This was a hugely popular post yesterday, pulling in over 700 points.
Yeah, 90% is a staggering number. For context, traditional recycling methods usually recover less than 50% of the lithium, and they leave behind this toxic sludge known in the industry as black mass. The Japanese team made a really clever chemical tweak. Instead of using standard sodium hydroxide in the extraction process, they swapped it out for recovered lithium hydroxide. This allows them to convert that black mass into high-purity lithium that can go straight into new batteries.
And it's not just more efficient, it's cleaner. The researchers say this new technique cuts carbon emissions by about 40% compared to older methods. But as the Hacker News comments pointed out, the real story here is the geopolitics. Japan currently imports almost all of its battery minerals. Lithium mining is incredibly expensive, energy-intensive, and politically complicated. If Japan can recover 90% of their lithium domestically, it completely changes their economic security and supply chain stability.
Exactly. Though there is a catch, which commentators were quick to highlight. Right now, only about 14% of used lithium-ion batteries in Japan actually make it into official recycling systems. So the science is there, but the collection infrastructure needs a massive upgrade. Still, they are planning to scale this up by 2027 and hope to extract tens of thousands of tons by 2035. If this tech spreads globally, it really could be a game changer for the whole electric vehicle transition.
Speaking of game changers, let us move from green tech to AI. Prism ML just announced Bonsai 27B, and the headline is wild. It is a 27 billion parameter class model that runs entirely on a phone. Specifically, they demoed it running on an iPhone 17 Pro Max.
This one got a lot of traction on the board. Usually, a 27B model in 16-bit precision takes up about 54 gigabytes of memory. Even a heavily compressed 4-bit version is around 18 gigs, which is way too big for a phone and most laptops. But Prism ML managed to squeeze this down using 1-bit binary weights and ternary weights. The 1-bit version is just 3.9 gigabytes.
Which is tiny, and the fascinating part is how much intelligence it retains. They benchmarked it against the full precision Qwen 3.6 base model, and the 1-bit version keeps about 90% of the performance, especially in math and coding. The Hacker News thread was super engaged with this, but a lot of people were comparing it to Google's Gemma 4 12B model, specifically the 4-bit quantization-aware training versions.
Right. User Swell Joe pointed out that Gemma 4 12B is just under 7 gigabytes and is remarkably smart, especially for vision tasks. But Prism ML's numbers suggest Bonsai 27B actually crushes Gemma on math and coding, though it might lag a bit on vision. The bigger paradigm shift here, which the community really focused on, is agentic workflows.
Yes, this is the really exciting part. When you are running an AI agent that needs to make hundreds of tool calls, passing contacts back and forth, doing that over a cloud API gets incredibly expensive and slow. Plus, you are sending your private data over the network. If you can run a highly capable 27B model locally on your device, the marginal cost of a 100-step reasoning loop drops to zero.
One commenter mentioned they have been using the base Qwen 3.6 model for agentic coding, and it is the best in its class. Having that power locally, where the AI can look at your screen, read your private documents, and execute workflows without calling out to the cloud, is exactly where the industry is heading. It is crazy to think early computers filled rooms, and now we are carrying 27 billion parameter AI agents in our pockets.
All right, moving on to our third story, and this one has the Hacker News community pretty fired up. It's about the European Union's new digital identity wallet, specifically the Age Verification app. The controversy stems from a GitHub discussion on the official EU repository, where developers noticed the app requires Google Play integrity and Apple app attestation.
Yeah, this is a massive contradiction. The EU has been talking endlessly about digital sovereignty and reducing reliance on American tech giants, but here they are building a foundational public infrastructure app and hard-coding a dependency on Google and Apple's proprietary attestation services.
For those who might not know, attestation is a way for an app to verify that the device and operating system it is running on haven't been tampered with. It sounds good for security, but in practice, it means if you are running a custom Android ROM, a Linux phone, or a de-Googled device, the app just flat out refuses to work.
The GitHub thread, started by a user named The Last Project, blew up with hundreds of comments. They pointed out that tying age verification to specific operating systems violates the EU's own design principles of interoperability and being controlled by users. They even brought up Yeevee, a Dutch identity app that already does this without relying on Google or Apple.
The Hacker News comments were equally frustrated. User Blop called it the elephant in the room regarding EU digital sovereignty. They pointed out that while the EU is pushing to move back-end services off US clouds, there is zero talk about mobile platforms. No funding for Linux phones, no push to force hardware companies to allow alternative operating systems.
And user Roundabout Host made a great point about the network effect. If the law effectively requires you to use Android or iOS to verify your age for basic services, it becomes impossible for any alternative mobile OS to ever gain traction. Attestation is basically a tool to lock out competing platforms under the guise of security. It is a really complex issue, balancing the need for secure digital identity with the right to own and modify your own hardware.
It definitely feels like a step backward for open source and device ownership. But let us lighten the mood a bit. Have you noticed Cloud using the word load-bearing lately, Mike?
Oh my gosh, yes. Load-bearing, honest take, looking at the seams, it is driving me crazy.
Well, you're not alone. A developer named Johanna Larsson wrote a great little blog post yesterday about how to stop Claude from using these overused LLM phrases. The post got almost 500 points on Hacker News.
So what is her solution?
She wrote a script using Claude's message display hook. It basically intercepts the output from Claude and runs a regex find and replace before it shows up on your screen. So she replaces the word seam with whatchamacallit. She replaces you're absolutely right with I'm a complete clown. Honest take becomes spicy doodad, and load bearing just becomes cooked.
That is brilliant. It turns this massive source of frustration into something you can just laugh at. But the discussion on Hacker News took a really interesting turn into the social implications of these AI-isms.
Yeah. User Dr. Toboggan said they do not mind it when coding with Claude, because they know it is an AI. But it is jarring when you are reading a blog post or an email from a human and you see those same phrases. It makes you wonder if they just prompted an LLM to write it for them.
And it is creating this weird reverse Turing test in our daily lives. One commenter talked about reading a book and rolling their eyes at all the Claudisms, only to realize the book was published in 2019. These phrases were always part of corporate speak or good writing practices, but the LLMs have just mechanically overused them to the point of turning them into instant cliches.
It is actually causing problems for people who naturally have a good vocabulary. User PHS318U mentioned they have always been a strong writer, but now they feel forced to dumb down their writing and self-censor just to avoid being accused of using an LLM. Another user said they wrote a thoughtful thank you note to their team, and half the team assumed it was AI-generated just because it was polished.
It is wild. We are having to inject deliberate flaws or overuse the word I just to prove we are human. It's like an in-real-life capture. But until the models get better at varying their sentence structures, I might just have to install Johanna's script so I can read a spicy doodad instead of an honest take.
I love that. Okay, our final story today is for the developers out there. It's a deep dive into a relatively unknown experimental Git command called Git History. Lalit Maganti wrote a great essay about it that sparked a massive debate on Hacker News.
So a lot of people lately have been talking about JJ or Jujitsu, which is an alternative version control system that handles conflicts and rebasing much more gracefully than Git. Lalit says he tries to switch to JJ every few months, but always ends up going back to Git. That is where Git History comes in. It was introduced across Git versions 2.54 and 2.55, and it brings some of that JJ magic natively to Git.
It has three main subcommands: fixup, reword, and split. Let us say you have a stack of branches and you realize you made a typo in a commit three branches down. Normally, fixing that and rebasing everything on top of it is a nightmare where you are terrified of breaking your tree. With Git History Fixup, you just stage the fix, run the command pointing to the old commit, and Git automatically folds the change in and rebases all the dependent branches perfectly.
And it is atomic, meaning it will never leave your tree in a half-broken state. If it detects a conflict it cannot resolve, it just refuses the operation. The reword command does the same thing, but for commit messages, and split lets you take one old commit and break it into two interactively, updating everything downstream.
The Hacker News comments on this were classic. It immediately turned into a philosophical debate about Git workflows. User Hackerman wrote a passionate defense of complex branching history, complaining that people force everything into a linear squash-merge timeline just because they do not understand how Git actually works.
Yeah, they argued that squashing everything destroys the actual development history, making things like Git blame useless when you are trying to figure out how a bug was introduced. But then, user BigTTYGothGF fired back saying they want development history squashed because they want a clean log without a mess of work in progress and typo fix commits.
It's the eternal struggle. Do you want a true record of how the sausage was made, or do you want a clean, curated history of releasable features? But regardless of where you fall on that debate, tools like Git History that make manipulating that graph easier and less terrifying are a huge win. If you've been scared of interactive rebases, it's definitely worth checking out.
Absolutely. And that wraps up our coverage for today. From 90% lithium recovery and 27 billion parameter models on iPhones to the EU's attestation drama, Claude's load-bearing spicy doodads, and making Git a little less painful.
Thank you all so much for listening to HNCod. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or a coworker. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.